You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 3rd of August 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about the Patriotic Alternative Plan. It's been worked on and waiting to be released for quite some time now. Quite a lot of people have had input into this and I think it's a very good 25-point plan that the average person in Britain is going to support. Not just white nationalists. There's a lot of sensible stuff in this. This is the sort of plan that you could show to anyone that was concerned at what is going on in this country. And it's very hard to argue against any of the stuff that's actually put into this. What I've done is I've pulled out some bullet points from it because I don't think we would be able to go through the whole plan and exactly the way that it's written in one episode. So I'll try and summarise some of these points in this. They begin by saying that the British people are made up of the English, Northern Irish, Scottish and Welsh. And of course, instantly you are going to get people saying, oh, well, what does it mean, English? What does it mean, Northern Irish? Or Scottish? Well, it means that both your grandparents were English, Northern Irish, Scottish or Welsh. If both your grandparents were, then quite clearly you are. And if people want to start arguing about, well, what is white? Well, it's quite simple to determine who is white. It's anybody that's able to blush is white. Anybody that blushes with shame through embarrassment, they're white. So I think it's quite easy to determine who the English or the Scottish or the Welsh are. And if somebody wants to try and say, well, I've got a non-white grandparent that considered herself to be English. Well, if they had a non-white grandparent, then obviously they're going to be non-white themselves. And you can't say that that person was English. They might have been a British citizen, but you can't say that they were English. This is based on inheritance. This is based on a shared ethnicity. The British people are made up of a shared ethnicity. British citizens today are something different. They can be any ethnicity whatsoever, and it's just that piece of paper that they have that unites them. They're not actually bonded by blood, as it were, which, as we know, is thicker than water. They say the exercise of the right to national self-determination in the United Kingdom is unique to the British people. And again, this ties in with what I was just saying there. The right to national self-determination, that means the right to identify as British, is unique to the British people. It means that the government that has been handing out British citizenship to people and telling them that they are British and handing away our heritage, it means that would no longer be allowed to go on. That means that there would be a constitution saying that could not go on. The only people who have the right to national self-determination in the United Kingdom are the British people. That means you can't have others trying to set up their own nations within the country. You can't have nations within a nation. And I believe this is also based on the constitution or the laws that they have over there in Israel. So people can't really complain about it if it's something that are greatest ally in the Middle East, Israel, has in their rules and their laws. They say there will be a complete halt to immigration, which is something that the majority of the country wants. And they've been quite sensible here. They're saying it's a complete halt to immigration, but if there are certain necessities, such as extremely niche skills that we require that we can't get from among our own people, then that would be a reason to have people to come in. But that would just be temporary, obviously. But a complete halt to immigration is needed. Britain has no obligation to take any refugees or asylum seekers from nations that do not lie on her borders. And of course, at the moment, we've got people trying to invade the country by boat coming from France. But they're not French people trying to claim asylum from France. They're people from Africa or from the Middle East that are trying to claim asylum. And they're false asylum seekers. Their asylum claim is fake because there is no war in France. You are supposed to claim asylum in the nearest safe country to your own. To travel halfway across the world to then go and claim asylum in the country that has the most benefits is not a genuine asylum claim. All of them that try to do that are fake asylum seekers. They should be sent back. They should be imprisoned or just sent back to France. The only asylum seekers that we should take here in Britain are French people from France that could be saying, well, the laws in France are persecuting me for my political beliefs, and the laws in Britain don't allow such persecution, so I claim asylum under that. I mean, that's the only reason why you would expect to have asylum seekers from anywhere in Europe, was just if your laws that you had in your country were less intrusive politically than laws in other countries. And we do have instances of this. We do have historical revisionists that have come to Britain for asylum because of that very reason. Because if they were in their own country, because of the limited free speech that they had there, they could be put in prison for investigating what happened in World War II. So we do have genuine asylum seekers in Britain, but they're certainly not the ones that come in via the boats from France. Britain is the ancestral homeland of the British people. As such, the indigenous people should remain the overwhelming majority within Britain. And this is something that some ethno-nationalists have criticised Patriotic Alternative for. They say, well, the Patriotic Alternative should insist that Britain should be completely white and everybody else should go home. Obviously, the ideal is that you have ethno-states. Obviously, the ideal is that you have your foxes over there, you have your sheep over there, you have your chickens over there. But we can't do that any longer. That is from a time that has long gone past. Since then, we've had our countries filled up with various different races, various different types of people. And some of them may actually have been helpful. Not all of them are bad types. I don't want to say that they are all bad types. And the ones that aren't bad types and that do support the British people, you get the Anglophile types, particularly Indians are become Anglophiles. Those they could stay under guest status, couldn't they? You could have your British citizens that were ethnically British, and then you could have your guests. And so long as the guests didn't behave badly, they could stay here as guests, and they could enjoy the same rights and protections that we have. But the minute that they broke the law or became subversive, then they could be sent back. And also, I mean, that would be the ideal, is that you had a purely white state, but it's very hard to get to these ideals nowadays. I mean, if it's a choice of, well, you can have 95% white, or you can just have it continuing how it is today, where it's only 85% white and it's looking like it's going to be 80% white soon, then obviously you're going to take that, well, we want that 95%. We will go for that. We will go for whatever is the best option. I mean, this is something that I've talked about for some time now. We can't just only support people that are absolutely 100% ideologically pure. We have to support anything that is going to improve the conditions for white people, no matter how small it is. If it's a huge gesture towards us, that's great. But even if it's just a small gesture, then we need to support it, like we supported Donald Trump, and he still hasn't managed to carry out his campaign promises, but he has managed to expose the fake news media. He has limited the immigration into America. He has made it possible that we can talk about a lot of these subjects that used to be taboo, because he brought them up, and he brought them up in the 2016 election. So we supported Donald Trump, even though he's only mildly pro-white. We can't just wait around for somebody who fits our ideals exactly. We need to support the people that are out there that are doing what they can for us, and just ensuring that white people will always remain a majority in Britain, the overwhelming majority within Britain, would be a vast improvement on the way things are now. They say no minority should ever be allowed to wield disproportionate power over the British people or hold disproportionate influence over or within the government. And that's probably today that would be referring to all these minorities, really, particularly Jews. They're a very, very small minority with a vastly disproportionate amount of power that they have, that we've recently seen with people that criticize them on Twitter that get kicked off. But it's not just Jews. Muslims hold a vastly disproportionate amount of power. The homosexual lobby, the transsexual lobby, they're all minorities. And if we had a national state that was based upon nationalism, the British people would be encouraged to identify with the British people rather than identifying with some sexual minority or some gender minority. They'd be encouraged to see themselves as British citizens, as the extended family of all the other British citizens, and wanting the best for the country, rather than being divided up into these minority advocacy groups. Freedom of speech will be enshrined for all British citizens. The only exceptions to this law will be in the case of the promotion of violence or terrorism. And that would put us on the same footing as America. In America, they have total freedom of speech there, with the exception of encouraging violence against individuals. And that has to be targeted. It has to be a direct, credible threat to a person. And it has been decided in America that hate speech is not illegal. It is not illegal in America to encourage hatred of somebody or of a minority. What it is illegal to do is to encourage, incite violence or terrorism. And I think that's what PA are trying to do here. They're trying to put the British law in line with the First Amendment guarantees that we have in America. But the problems with that First Amendment guarantee that they have in America is that it doesn't seem to apply to these private companies. These private companies that have become like public utilities, such as Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, who are effectively managing companies like the telephone network, where the public are able to talk to one another. And they're effectively censoring that and removing all opinions that they don't like, all contrary opinions to their own, they are removing. And that goes against freedom of speech. But I think the First Amendment applies to individuals. It says individuals will have this freedom of speech, and the government will not interfere to prevent people from having that freedom of speech. which is why these private companies have been able to say, well, we're not the government and we're a private company and we want to silence this speech. So what they need to do is they need to say, well, look, these companies, they're not, either they are publishers, in which case they can be sued for every bit of hate speech or every bit of speech that people don't like on there, every bit of libel that's on there, or they are platforms and they are public utilities. And if they are platforms and public utilities, they have to allow full freedom of speech with the exception of this encouragement of violence. And I would hope that that would be something that PA would be wanting to look into, just how that this freedom of speech would be put in place and how they could guarantee that on platforms like YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, that we would have proper freedom of speech with the exception of, obviously, unlawful speech, which is promoting violence or terrorism in America. And that's how it would be in Britain under a PA administration. Obviously, at the moment, under the British administration, it's illegal to incite hatred against a minority. And that's based on, again, it is based on a credible threat. It's inciting hatred with a view to harm coming to, physical harm coming to the object of the incitement of the hatred. But I talked about that a little bit last week anyway in the BitChute and Freedom of Speech podcast that I did. The traditional family will be enshrined, promoted and upheld by the state as an ideal to be striven for and to be emulated. And of course, the family is the building block of the nation. That's what we need to be seen as. That's the essential unit of the nation, is the family. We need to stop looking at ourselves as individuals, because an individual has nothing on his own. And everything the individual has actually comes from other people. And when you have a family, everything you have comes from that family. When you are a baby, your mother, your father, they care for you. They provide everything for you. You have the hierarchy there. You have the sense of security there, that the family isn't going to break down. And then when you become an adult, you will be a far more balanced adult. And from looking at the family and the family structure, you'll be able to look at the nation and see that they are the extended family. And the concerns that you have for your own immediate family, the same concerns that you can have for your extended family, for the nation, and the way that you expect your family to look out for you and to put your interests at heart, you should be able to expect the same from your nation, that the nation is going to put your interests at heart. So the nation comes before the individual and the family comes before the individual. You couldn't just have a baby and just leave them, expose them to survive. They wouldn't be able to survive. They need the family to look after them, essentially. And two homosexuals, naturally, would not be able to produce a child together. So they're not naturally supposed to be parents. So I should imagine all of that will be stopped as well, the taking away from children and giving them to homosexuals to raise, because the traditional family is the one that would be enshrined, promoted and upheld by the state as the ideal that people should be looking to emulate. Pornography will only be allowed to be sold in dedicated and licensed establishments. So no longer would it be all over the internet. No longer would there be soft porn all over the television. Pornography would be available on the internet, but it would require a license to access, like a shooting license or a fishing license, which I think is a good idea. Pornography is so harmful to young people when they see it, and they're getting younger and younger when they become exposed to this stuff before they have the maturity to deal with the images that they are seeing, and it can lead them into so much harm and damaged relationships, especially with sex before marriage and encouraging that and encouraging sleeping around, which causes problems for this traditional family structure. If you're used to sleeping around and you then try to settle down and produce a family, the chances of that family staying together are vastly reduced because you've been used to sleeping around, basically. And that is what pornography encourages. Of course, it also encourages addiction to it. The people that become badly addicted to it then have problems actually being able to perform. And one of the side effects of it that isn't talked about that much in the mainstream is that it draws people away from God. It draws people away from prayer. And it was used for that in the 60s. It was encouraged in convents and places where monks were, in order to draw them away from God. And Wilhelm Reich wrote about this, that there was nothing more effective at turning Christians away from God than exposing them to pornography. E. Michael Jones has spoken about this a lot. So it's very damaging. It's used as a weapon. It's not free speech. It's used as a weapon. But again, patriotic alternative are being realistic here. It would be great if we could just ban pornography and have no pornography. But they have to be realistic. They have to be pragmatic. It is something that has already been introduced to society. So we can't rewind time. We have to accept that there is this stuff around. So it has to be limited where it is available and how people can access it. All public information will only be available in British languages, English, Gaelic, and Welsh. And I've always wondered why it is that in England, school children aren't taught how to speak Welsh. And you've got Wales there, a huge country, almost the size of England. Okay, it's got less people in it. But their language is still a living language. It's spoken by at least half the people in Wales. It is taught in the schools there. The history of Britain before the Saxons was kept by the Welsh people. So you've got a lot of literature which is written in the Welsh language, which is the history of Britain, which is the shared British heritage, and it's not accessible to English children. It's not accessible to English people because they've never learned Welsh. If you look at places like Switzerland, they learn four or five different languages at school, the children do, because they have these different languages in Switzerland. They have Swiss German, Swiss Italian, Swiss French. They learn English as well. And I think they have a Swiss Roma. It's not Roma Gypsy. It's Swiss something else. So they learn five different languages because they've got five different languages spoken in their country. We have Welsh spoken in Wales, which is part of the United Kingdom. So children should be taught that. And the only information that is available, the public information, such as on signposts, information that's sent out by the state, should only be in those two languages. Obviously, an exception for this would be tourist areas. In tourist areas, you would expect there to be a multitude of different languages so that the tourists could understand what was going on and they could be instructed. But obviously, tourists are expected to go home again after their holiday. This is directed at making life not as comfortable as it was before for non-English speakers in order to encourage them to go back to their own countries. And they would be offered incentives to go back to their own countries, as well as things being made not so cushy for them as they are now, such as by removing the information, the translation services that we provide, basically. Welfare would only be for British speakers, so the benefits forms, they would all only be written in English and not available in other foreign languages. And the same in the NHS. And if somebody wanted to be treated in the NHS and they didn't speak English, they would have to pay for a translator. And the same in the courts. If they were being taken to court, they themselves would have to pay for that translator. which would encourage them to actually go back to their own countries, wouldn't it? The NHS, Patriotic Alternative, are going to ensure is a national health service and not an international health service, meaning it is just for the British people to use. And obviously they will invest in teaching British youth and educating them so that they can fill the places in the NHS that are required, because they often say, well, we have to bring in all these foreigners to fill these places in the NHS. Well, that is an absolute disgrace that we are not teaching our own British youth to fill those places, because then we could be so proud of our British youth that they were up to such a great standard that they could be doctors. And of course, don't forget, we have one of the highest average IQs in the world, or we used to have before the average IQ in Britain was lowered by all the immigration. But white people have the second to highest IQ in the world. So why aren't we making use of that and training our people to be doctors? Why are we importing doctors from Africa with a much lower average IQ? They talk about schools and how schools are going to be cleansed of all the political correctness, and teachers are not going to be allowed to indoctrinate pupils with their political views. Religion, they say, Britain is regarded as a Christian nation. Christianity is an integral part of our cultural heritage and will continue to be promoted as such. The state will also acknowledge ancient pre-Christian influences and protect sites that were of cultural significance to our ancient ancestors. And that is fantastic. That is really good. Britain is a Christian nation, and it shouldn't be allowed to be mocked the way that it is on the television and degraded. And it needs to be promoted as part of our cultural heritage. And the same goes for ancient pre-Christian influences. I would suggest that the British government, actually, they're pretty good at protecting ancient sites, English heritage and National Trust and whatever it is in Wales. They do actually look after a lot of these places, and they'll put fences around them, and they'll put little plaques there to tell you about them. So they're not actually too bad at doing that at the moment, I don't think. Testing on live animals will be outlawed, as well as vivisection and other cruel and unnecessary practices. And that is actually the only thing on here that I might question, actually, because what about medicines? Well, if we got medicines and we want to test them out, shouldn't we first test them out on animals? I guess what they mean here, testing on live animals, maybe they mean cutting bits of the animal off or inserting things into their brains, all that sort of thing. Obviously, that should be stopped. But I do think that when we've got new medicines, before we test them out on human beings, they should be tested on an animal. And obviously, they're not going to be a sort of medicine that we are going to expect to kill the animal, or we wouldn't be giving it to them. We do need to make use, I think, of animals in that way. Maybe some people would disagree with me, but again, that's only a minor question that I would have about this. Obviously, vivisection and harm to animals, deliberately causing them suffering, would all have to stop, and I support that. Obviously, halal slaughter and kosher slaughter would both have to be put a stop to. No building on the Greenbelt. They have respect for the countryside. They want to keep Britain looking as beautiful as it does now. And there is no country on earth as beautiful as Britain, the British countryside. It is just absolutely stunning. And part of that, why we find it so beautiful, is because it was shaped by our ancestors over thousands of years. When you look out and you see the countryside and you see those dry stone walling and you see the enclosures, a lot of it can look very natural, as if it just happened like that. But it didn't. It was shaped like that by our ancestors, by our own hands. And that's why we find it so beautiful. I find it very hard to believe that anybody that isn't actually British is going to find the British countryside as beautiful as we do. It's like us looking in the mirror. We find ourselves beautiful when we look in the mirror. Our own people. It's the same thing. Looking at the countryside. If we were to be looking in the mirror and we saw a foreign person there, we wouldn't have the same appreciation for it as we do for ourselves. And I think that goes for the countryside as well. They then talk about credit and usury. They say an economy cannot be built on credit, and a happy, prosperous, and free people must be free of the chains of usury and debt. And obviously this is just a short plan, so they can't go too much into the details of that, but we do need to put a stop to usury. Whether it would be possible to actually go back to the original definition of the word and put a stop to it, I don't know. But just putting limits on the amounts that can be charged and making sure that people are aware of the amounts they're going to be charged would be better than the situation that we are now. We need to prevent people from getting into debt. And the way to do that is to encourage people to save and stop encouraging people to take out credit cards and take out loans. In order to do that, we would have to have a total restructuring, really, of our system, because it's built on trying to encourage as much debt as possible. And that will always end in inflation and massive, massive, massive public debt, which is, of course, getting even worse now with this coronavirus. They really need to just reset everything. That's the Christian way, is every 50 years to have a reset and zero all the debts. And then you don't end up with a huge, great debt mountain. Well, we've got a few more here. I don't know if I'm going to be able to fit them in. No, we've gone a little bit over time here. So maybe I'll have a look at these last ones tomorrow. But thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.